Mark chapter 14 this morning, verses 37 and 38. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. And we'll read from the Bible, Mark chapter 14, starting with verse number 37. Then he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch with me 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I want to talk to you on this subject this morning. There's always victory in the Lord. There's always victory in the Lord. Not sometimes, not once in a while, but always. Everybody loves a winner, and everybody wants to be on the side of victory. But often we forget the path to ultimate victory may include a few interruptions and failures along our way. The Christian who remembers that failure is not the final way will find that there's always victory in the Lord. So let's pray and we'll have our message today. Father, thank you now that we can know that in you there's always victory. No matter what happens, you're in control. And we can come to you, and though failure may be a part of our life, it doesn't end that way. I know the end of the book. I've seen it. I've read it. The victory is in you. You will win. And we're on the winning side already because we're walking in your ways. Now, Holy Spirit, teach us the things we must have as we walk through this world. We need your help. Help us not to live in failure, but to live in victory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Christian who always remembers that God's in control will realize that what God is doing will bring them to the path of victory. One of the greatest failures in the history of America was a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln failed in business. He failed in a lot of ways in his law firm. He failed in politics until he became the President of the United States. The election previous to being elected president, he lost a congressional seat. And you would think somebody who's lost in Congress would surely not run for president and win. Yet he did. And because of his stand and his willingness to stand for what was right according to the Word of God, he put this nation back together. Got a victory over slavery. It may have taken a lot of decades after that to get all of our ducks in a row. But the battle was fought. The Union was saved. Righteousness lived out because one man had experienced failure after failure after failure as God prepared him for that time to be the President of the United States of America. I personally believe if it wasn't for those failures, he would have never been president. Just because we fail doesn't mean it's over. Just because we hit bumps in the road, that's what I like to call them, doesn't mean it's ended. Do you know one of the greatest inventors in history, Thomas Edison, was one of the biggest failures when it comes to inventions in the world? He had more failures than he had successes, but every failure brought him closer to success. And if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and remember that He's in control, then as you and I go through life, we'll realize that God is taking us somewhere. We may not like the failures, and nobody does. Nobody likes to lose. Nobody likes to fail. Nobody likes to fall down. Yet, we have to go through those steps in order to have victory on a regular basis in our life. When a child first learns to walk, they don't get up one day and look around at mom and dad and say, I'm going to walk. Stand up and just start walking. First, they start crawling. Then they crawl up something and stand and weave back and forth and bobble back and forth. Then they take that step and boom, they fall down. And they take another step and boom, they fall down. And over and over and over again, that child falls down. I've used this illustration many times in my Christian life. And what would it be like if Brother Emmanuel decided that he's going to give up after falling down a few times? I'm just not going to walk. Can you imagine little B carrying him around because he wasn't man enough, if you will, to keep on trying because he didn't learn how to walk, not because he couldn't walk, but because he gave up. That's how most of our Christian lives are. We think we can't make it. We think we can't make it. We think we can't make it. We think we can't make it because we fall down and we fall down and we fall down and we fall down. But get up. Get up. Dust your pants off. Get up. Adjust your hair. Get up. Adjust your skirt. Get up. Clean off your shoes. Clean off your socks. Clean off your stockings. Decide that you're going to go forward to God and keep on going. Why? Because there's victory in the Lord. Just keep on going. God's going to take you somewhere. You know what that child learns every time they fall down? They learn more how to walk. And we've got to walk with God. Peter is one man who could really testify the experience of failure. I mean real failure. Failure that could have brought him to the place where he could have quit serving God. Yet he didn't. Peter's spiritual regression began when the spirit of pride entered into his life. If you'll recall, if you could look in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read for you a couple of verses out of Matthew 26 in just a moment. But Jesus said to his disciples that they shall be offended because of him. But Peter got proud. Peter developed a pious attitude. He answered and said unto him, this is Peter, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Well, Peter was saying, everybody else may run away, but I'm not going to run away. Everybody else may become offended for you, but I'm not going to be offended. Why did Peter feel that way? Because for some reason, Peter thought he could take care of himself. Peter did the same thing that oftentimes you and I do as Christians. We say, God, I got this part covered. I got this right here. I can handle this. Now, you got to take care of those other things for me, but this one thing, I know I can do it. And every time you and I get that way, we develop the same problem that Peter had, a pious attitude. He thought he could stand on his own, and he couldn't. He thought he could make it on his own strength, but he couldn't. Peter said, when everyone else fails, I'll be faithful. Standing right next to you, Lord, right there. You can depend on me. See, Peter's pride and presumptuous spirit led him to a perilous condition. Peter's pride led to thinking that he could be his own man and not dependent on God. When Jesus sweat drops of blood in the garden, he prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you wilt. That was Mark 14, same chapter we are in verse 36. Verse 37, just in 1 hour of prayer, he comes down and he finds him sleeping. And he says to Peter, Simon, sleepeth thou? Could not watch with me 1 hour? As Jesus prayed, Peter slept. Why is it that Peter slept? Because he didn't feel the need to pray. We don't pray just because we feel a need to pray. We pray because it's time to pray. We should have a prayer time every day in which we pray. We should have a prayer time every week where we come together as a church and pray. You ought to have a prayer time every day where you sit down with your family and pray. Now the family time doesn't take place of the church time. And the church time doesn't take place of a personal time. Every day you and I need to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Not a big verse, not a hard verse to memorize, but a verse that most Christians don't seem to follow. Why? Because here's what we say, I got this. I can handle this. There's not a problem here. I can handle it. So number one, realize you can't handle it. Realize you can't handle it. We must walk with God. See, when we don't walk with God, we think we can make it and pride sneaks into our life. Many Christians feel like they don't need to pray. I've talked to many Christians, and I'll talk to them about their prayer life, and I'll say, what did you pray for? Well, I prayed for about 2 or 3 minutes for the things I wanted, and then I didn't know what to pray for after that. Oh my goodness, there's so many things to pray for. Well, I could pray for the missionaries, right? Yeah, but you know what? You could pray for your wife. You could pray for your husband. You can pray for each of your children by name. You can pray for your brother and sister. You can pray for your pastor and his wife. You can pray for your church. You can pray for your friend at work. You can pray for those in your neighborhood that are not saved. There are so many things that we need God's attention about that we don't even look at because we're not walking with God. We're walking in the flesh. We're walking in the world. And we don't think we need God's power. We don't need God's might, and we fail and fail and fail and fail because we keep walking on our own self. I need God's help. Man, the older I get, the less I can get done on my own. When I was a young pup, I could run around, do all the things I want to do, run, burn the candles at both ends is what I've called it. I remember when I was at Bible college. The first time I went to Bible college, I worked a full-time job, worked in the church part-time, started a family, and my wife was just young, I was just young, we're just newly married, and I was working a full-time job, working at the church, and trying to be a husband. Our children were starting to be born, and I became a pastor of a church. And it was hard work, it was laborious. Then I went back to school about 10 years later. And I went back to school and I thought it'd be easier, you know. My kids were in school. Oh man, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And so I went back to college, but this was different. Now I had 4 children who were all going to school. And we put them in a Christian school. And I had my wife and myself. And I worked 3 jobs in order to get through to pay all our bills. I slept about 2 days a week. I would sleep. I'd come home Monday from school and go to sleep. Sleep about 8 hours. Wake up Tuesday, go back to school, go to work, come home. I think I'd sleep Tuesday night or Tuesday during the daytime after classes. And then I'd wake up and I'd go to work, midnight shift. I'd go to school. And after that, I didn't get to go to sleep till Monday again. My weekends were so busy, I would go from one job to the next job, to the bus ministry, to back to work, then do another ministry on Sunday, and then go back to work, then come back and do another ministry, and then go back to work all night long, come back from work and go to school, take those classes, and it would be Monday afternoon before I'd sleep. So I know from Friday morning, for sure, from Thursday midnight, till Monday afternoon, I never saw the bed. Not even for an hour or two of sleep. And I had to do that. It wasn't a matter of that I might do that. I had to do that. I had to do it to survive. But most of us are Christians are too lazy to do what it takes to survive. And can I tell you, just as I had to work those 3 jobs in order to financially survive, I have to pray, I have to read my Bible, I have to memorize God's Word in order for me to survive in this world. I have to. It's not that I should. It's not that I could. I must. And that's where Peter failed. Peter felt like, I can handle this. Every time you think you can handle something, look out. That's pride telling you and me that we can't handle that. Prayer involves humbling ourselves before God. And when we have pride in our life, pride, the opposite of pride is humility. The opposite of humility is pride. Pride is saying, I can handle this. Humility is not saying I'm not worthy. Humility is saying I'm not capable. And I must depend on the Lord. Not I should depend on the Lord. Not that I could depend on the Lord. I must depend on the Lord. And the older I get, the more I find I can't go like I did when I was young. Man, now I got to sleep. Back then I wanted to sleep. Now I have to get some sleep. And as I get up, I don't have the energy I had when I was a young person. I can't run and run and run and run and run and burn up and burn up and burn up. I think back then I weighed about 125 pounds, maybe 140 pounds, because I didn't have time to eat. All I did was run from one ministry to another ministry, to this over here, to work over here, to school over here. It was just, to job over here. It was exhausting. But now I'm exhausted when I wake up. As time goes on. And I've realized more and more as I've got older and older, I can do less and less without God's power. And the only way for me to obtain the power of God is to walk with Him. To humble myself and pray and seek His face. Prayer involves humbling ourselves before God and confessing our need for Him. It's a difficult task for a proud Christian. The regression of Peter's spiritual life went because of pride and presumptuousness and prayerlessness. Number two, we've got to hide God's Word in our heart. I know these are basic things. We hear them all the time. But the reason that most Christians don't hide God's Word in their heart is we're too lazy. And we think, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. I'm too old. I can't memorize anymore. We make excuse after excuse after excuse of why we don't need to hide God's Word in our heart. Yet that is our greatest weapon that you and I have in order to overcome sin. We must. I'm not saying we should, we must. I'm not saying we could, I'm saying we must. Just as much as I must pray, I must have God's Word in my heart that I might be able to do battle against the devil. God has already given me the victory. I just gotta pull out the sword. God has already promised I'm on the winning side. I just gotta pull out the sword. God already said I can make it. I just gotta pull out the sword. Yet most of us leave our sword in our sheath and we want a fist fight. Come, devil. I could beat you in my sleep. Who do you think you are? And most of the time, our sleep, we don't even beat them in. We dream about things we shouldn't dream about. We think about things we ought not to think about. We waste time after time and hour after hour and day after day spending our time thinking about things that have nothing to do with God instead of putting our heart into the Word of God. That became a weakness for Peter. Peter never one time pulled up the Word of God. See, Peter just didn't stay presumptuous or prayerless. He began denying God. The final step was Peter, that he finds himself denying the Lord. Peter failed. He would find victory rewarding in his past, but because he became so presumptuous, sin came. I should say pride came. Prayerlessness came. Lack of dependence on God's Word came. And sin came. When we realize pride has gotten to us, we need to turn to the Lord. So number three, we need to turn to God every day. I want to read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. We need to realize that we need to turn from our ways and let godly sorrow rescue you and me from the worldliness that consumes us. Can I tell you that there's no problem in America that couldn't be resolved if we just repent as a people, realize we've got to have God's power, and seek His face. Can I tell you what would turn America around? What would bring real revival in America is if Christians, each one of us, one by one, person by person, family by family, church by church, realize godly sorrow and repent from our ways, turn our direction around, run to God and let Him deliver us from the worldly lusts in which we live in. Because the truth is that's where we live. We want. Everybody in this room is guilty, including me. We see what the world has to offer, and we go after it. We spend our time and our money and our energies and our talents pursuing things that make us happy. and we leave God out of everything. I'm sure that many of us in this room can't wait to get to heaven. I know I look forward to that day. I can't wait to be in the presence of my God and my Savior. But in order for me to live to that point, I could live a victorious life, heaven on earth, if you will, if I would just do what God's telling us to do here today. If we just did what Peter learned to do. Until someone senses godly sorrow for whatever stage of regression we might be in, there can be no restoration and no victory to our life. Peter, who just a few days had seemed to give up to reason, declared his own failure. He realized what he had done. He realized he could no longer hold himself back. There he is. There's Jesus at judgment before Pilate. Peter's warming his hands by the fire. He wants to be near. He doesn't really want to run away. He just doesn't have the power to resist all the things that are going on. He's warming his hands there. He's not using the Word of God. He's using rational thought, which is what the world teaches you and I to do. Think about this rationally. You can't tithe. You know you can't tithe. You don't have the money to tithe. Because if you start giving to the Lord, what are you going to do with to pay your bills? Well, tithe says give 10%. It's not to tip God. Tithing means 10%. The word tithe means one-tenth. Boy, I start giving 10% of my income. I say to the Lord, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't afford this. But by faith, we trust the Lord. We do what He says because we keep in His Word. And suddenly, we realize that we can do more than what we ever thought. God says, go and give the gospel out to every creature. And you say, well, I can't talk. I don't have all that fancy knowledge that the preacher has. I can't stand up there like the preacher can and give the whole gospel message out without fear or without looking at other people and trying to figure things out. Listen, I've not always been that way. I've been in the ministry now for 36 years or 37 years. I've been in it for a couple weeks. And I've learned to continue to trust in the Lord and continue to give out the gospel message and give out the gospel message and give out the gospel message regardless of what people may say. And I remember the first time I started going out soul winning with a gentleman whose name, now I can see him in my mind's eye, I just can't bring his name up to my memory for a moment. And he'd been teaching me how to soul win, and one day while we were out, I had my New Testament in my hand, and it was raining outside, and I had it in my hands, but it was behind my back because I couldn't fit it in any pocket. Amen. And it wasn't just a New Testament. I had a brown, full Bible, just in case somebody needed to know something that wasn't on the Romans Road. And so I stood there, and I asked them a couple questions, and I said, and the preacher said, if you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. And I said, no, I sure don't. And he said, if we could show you from the Word of God how you could have God's promise, or he said, if we could show you from the Word of God how you can have heaven, would you take it? And he said, the lady said, I sure would. And he said, good. Brother Marco wants to show it to you right now. And he stepped away, and I went, I know it's in here somewhere. And I started fumbling through my Bible, and I had it marked, but I was fumbling through it. I was all nervous. And here it started raining like harder and harder. And she's standing under a night shelter of the porch, and I'm standing out in the rain, and it's rolling all over my Bible. And I can't get the pages from unsticking, and I'm stammering and tripping over every word. And I, just a minute, ma'am, I'm new at this. And I turned to another page and I say, oh yeah, here it is, let me read it to you again. And I read it, oh, before you know it, after about 30 minutes of stammering and stumbling and rumbling and trying to figure out what, saying to myself, I'm going to get that preacher. I'm going to get that preacher. Finally, I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, would you be willing to take Jesus' promise as your very own? And she said, yes, I would. And then I was stuck again. I didn't know what to do next. I looked at the preacher and I looked at her and I looked at the preacher and he said, well, pray. And I went, oh yeah. I had never done that before. Like this. I remember the very first man I ever won to Christ. This was the first lady I won to Christ out soul winning. I remember the very first man I went to out soul winning. My wife's family from my first Christmas time, gave me a big Bible like this right here. Oh, and I was so excited. The Bible I had gotten when I got saved was the size of a novel, and I didn't have a big Bible, and it gave me a nice leather covered Bible, and boy, I was so excited. And I learned that you needed to go tell people the gospel message. And I hadn't learned anything about soul winning yet, nor the Romans Road or anything like that. I just read in the Bible, and I'd been talking to a man that told me I needed to go out and give the gospel message out to people. And I said, great. So I didn't know what to do. I used to work with leather a lot. So I made myself a shoulder holster, Bible holster. I took a piece of leather and I made me a big Bible holster out of leather. And I could stick it underneath my coat and put my big old Bible in there. And so I'd walk down the street so people couldn't see my Bible, because when I was out there with a Bible, they would run from me. They thought I was a nut. And if they knew me today, they'd say he still is a nut. And so I made me a Bible holster out of leather. And I walked up to a man and he said, if you died, would you go to heaven? He looked at me and said, well, I'm a Jew. Boy, that stumped me. I don't think at that point I'd ever met a person that I realized was Jewish. And I said, that's okay. Jews can go to heaven too, you know. And I said, he said, oh yeah? He said, well, we got a different Bible. I said, really? And I opened my coat up and I put out my genuine Bible, amen. I said, well, I got one right here. And he went, where did that come from? And I said, different Bible, huh? Back then I didn't need reading glasses like I do now, but I pulled out my Bible. I said, you got Samuel in there? He said, yep. I said, okay, you got Kings in there? He said, yep. I said, you got, this is me, Psalms in there? He said, no, that's not Psalms, that's Psalms. I said, really? It looks like Psalms. I'm just a new Christian. I didn't know. I looked over here and I said, you got Job in there? He laughed. He said, that's not Job. That's Job. I said, oh no, that's Job. J-O-B, Job. That's what I got, a Job. I know that's Job. He said, no, but it's pronounced Job. I said, really? You got that in there? He said, we sure do. I said, same Bible. And I opened up to the book of Romans. And I showed him what I knew, what someone taught me. When I got saved, I showed him the same verses that I got saved with. And I said, God could take you to heaven too. I just showed you from the Word of God. Took my Bible, put it back in my Bible holster. I said, wouldn't you like to go to heaven? He said, I sure would. And I said, well, let's pray and ask Jesus to save you then. I remember how I prayed. He said, well, it's all dirty. I said, that's okay. And I took out a handkerchief just like this. And I spread it out on the ground. And I said, you can go kneel right on that right there. Your pants won't get dirty. And he knelt down there on the sidewalk with me. And I said, go ahead and pray. I didn't know I was supposed to lead him in prayer. He said, I don't know what to pray. I said, I don't know either, but you could pray. And somehow he asked Jesus to save him. I wasn't a real great soul winner then. It took me a long time to teach people anything I knew. I only knew what someone taught me. I know that how I got to go to heaven. He got done. I said, amen. All right, I'll pick up my hanky now. I said, I picked up my hanky, walked away. Never invited him to church, never did nothing like that, because I didn't know that that's what I should do. I thought my job was over. I've never seen the man again. I will see him one day in heaven. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, I know things are difficult. I know it's hard. I know it takes courage. But just because it takes courage and it's difficult doesn't mean we're supposed to quit. We're supposed to keep on going. It was difficult for Peter to stand there before all those people and admit that he knew Jesus. He's afraid it was going to cost him something. And it may have, I don't know. But I know this. Instead of looking to the Lord for help, he looked to his own self and denied the Lord 3 times. But out of that failure comes a great day. If we were to look in the book of Acts, we'd find out that Peter got up and he preached. He preached on the day of Pentecost. And you know what we're going to find on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people got saved. Do you know why? Because after Jesus ascended up into heaven, Peter realized he could no longer do things on his own. He had to have God's power. He had to have God's might. So after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter decided that he was going up to the upper room and he was going to pray and he was going to pray until he was going to pray. And the Lord said, stay up there until you're endued with power from on high. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit filled him with His power. He went out there and preached. And 3,000 people received Jesus Christ as their Savior. On another occasion, 6,000 people received Christ as their Savior. The church grew. But Peter learned a lesson out of his failure. You know what he learned? I need God's help. I need God's help. All of us fail. All of us fail. But failure is not the end of those who look to the Lord. I believe those failures that Peter went through, God allowed. God saw him. He allowed him to come to Peter's life. You knew why? You know why? Because Pentecost was coming. And he knew, God knew that Peter needed to realize he couldn't do it on his own because Pentecost would have never happened if Peter had depended on himself. I'm not sure what failures you've gone through. It's not important what failures to me you've gone through. I know I've gone through failures. I know that this, God allows those failures because there's always victory in the Lord. God's always in control. He knows what He's doing. And He's allowed these things to happen in your life and my life so He could bring us to the point where we need to be, where we could do a great work for Him. I still live in failure. Failure still happens to me on a regular basis. But every time I fail, I have to look back to the Lord and I have to say, let's see, where did I blow it? Where did I mess up? God allowed me to go through this failure for a reason. It was to take me my next step. I don't know what tomorrow holds for you. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. But I know this. God does. So take the failures you've gone through and use them as tools to cause you to have a greater relationship with Christ. So number four, and we're done. Number four, turn your failure into victory. Turn your failure into victory. How do I do that? By going to the Lord. Going to the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. We sing a little song like that. We teach it to our children. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. And He shall direct thy path. And He shall direct thy path. We teach it to our kids. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? Are we willing to let Jesus direct our path? If we are, then He'll always take that failure and change it into victory. I was talking to a preacher one time, not very long ago. And I said, you know, preacher, you got a large work. And you seem so successful. I have had very little stability of being in a place very long in my Christian life. I've gone from evangelism to pastoring to mission. I've done all sorts of work. And it just seems like I don't have what you have. And he looked at me and he said, no, I'll tell you what you do have. You have the same direction I have. God has directed your path according to what He sees fit. He said, I could never have done the things that you've done. Just like you couldn't do the things that I've done. Wow, what a statement. And I realized, God always takes failure and turns it into victory. We just follow Him. Father, I thank You for what we've learned today.